This is Scott.
This is Pat.
We got a great program today. We're going to talk about longevity and how it's changing baby boomers' view of retirement.
We have a fascinating conversation with Dr. Rich Feller, and he's talking about what the third act of life looks like. How do people lead a purposeful, happy retirement?
Yeah, that's right. And we're also going to talk about the caller has a question about a note on a piece of property, and we've got an advisor story that you'll want to hear. So stick around for Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Providing guidance as you plan and transition into retirement for over two decades. Here's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I shouldn't have eaten those peanuts before the show.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. I'm Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean, thanks for joining us.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, you should have spent another week at radio school there, Scott.
I know. I apologize for that. Anyway, this is Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, we are both financial advisors.
Not radio personalities by any means, or you wouldn't be coughing into the microphone like that.
I tried to reach the cough button, but I was getting pointed out I was supposed to start, and anyway, there it is.
There we go.
But it's anyway, I stole someone's
it's a financial show. We talk about your money. Talk about you. We talk about you and your relationship to money.
Yeah. And, of course, we've been, we've got lots of good, you know, it's fun. This program's evolved over the years.
Yes.
Because we've been doing it, we're almost at our 1,000th show. We're going back and doing, looking to see when it actually is. But it's coming up here soon, our 1,000th show. And when we first started, we were on a small station in South Sacramento. And
yes.
Then we went a year or so later, we're in a large station. But it started, it was, the first couple of years, it was a call-in regarding all kinds of stuff. Remember, credit card issues?
Every kind of financial.
Everything. And then it started becoming a little more just investment-centric type stuff. And I think for a while we went, it was almost a little too, it was just on investment. And then we swung back in it. And as time's gone on, it's been more a combination of kind of retirement age issues along with the finances. It's really because I think most of the time when people come to see a financial advisor or use a financial advisor, it's oftentimes it's like, all right, I'm getting towards retirement age. I know I'm supposed to have money saved. I've got an account here, 401k sitting here, and an IRA here. I don't know if is this a lot? Is it not a lot? Is retirement even feasible?
What does retirement look like?
That's usually when someone comes and sees a financial advisor. And so our show's kind of evolved over the years. And today we...
As our clients have evolved and their needs have changed.
And frankly, the way people look at retirement has changed.
Much different than it used to be.
Yes.
In the early, in the 90s, the late 90s, there seemed to be a rush to get out to retire as early as possible. But in the last 2-3 years, people, they don't seem to be in a hurry to retire. They, you know, it's more like quality of life while I'm working and quality of, while I'm working a traditional job or quality of life.
Let's be realistic. A part of it, Pat, is the financial markets. I mean,
yeah.
When we started in this industry, 1990 is when I started in the financial services industry. You look at the stock market was on fire during the 90s. Interest rates were high. I remember getting government bonds for clients that were around 8%.
Yeah, was it?
Right?
Yes.
And then, of course, that was much lower than it was in the 80s, but still 8% on government bonds.
And now, a 10-year government bond?
What, $1.60 or so, somewhere in that range, you know?
Yeah.
One and a half, one six, one five,
depending upon the day, the week, or the month that you purchase.
Very low interest rates, very low, and the outlook for the stock market's not exactly.
And people's super view robust. Of retirement has changed. So the show has changed as the time has gone on over the last.
Yeah, and baby boomers, frankly, are looking at retirement differently than their parents did, and they got
partially because they're living so much longer. Their parents are living longer. And they know that if the more active you are, the higher the quality of lifestyle you'll have, as well as the more engaged you'll become just by being active. And activity doesn't mean leisure all the time. Sometimes it means work. And I can tell you, Scott, my family, there's 5 children. You know this because we've been business partners for years, but for the rest of the listeners... 5 children in the family. My mother passed away.
How close in age are you guys all?
Oh, a couple of us are almost Irish twins.
what is an Irish twin?
We're together.
Less than a year apart.
Yes. Who is an Irish twin? my brother and I are a year and 4 days apart because my parents.
Is that right?
Yeah, great restraint. So they call my restraints. Anyway, so my mother passed away years ago, I think 15, 16 years ago. But my,
that long ago?
I think it was, wow. Yeah. But wow. So my father is now, we're going through this whole aging process where he was in assisted living and now we're putting him into board and care. And it really kind of brings home how difficult this transition is for people. Especially, fortunately, there's five of us, adult children. We all get along. There's not a lot of disagreement as to what should happen. And everyone is pitching in whichever way they can to make sure my father's comfortable. But I've been over the last week or so, as we've moved him into this nursing home, I've been closing down like his cell phone bill and his home phone and his electricity and newspapers. And what a pain in the... Because I get him on the phone, perfect example, electric company today. Hey, we need to turn his electricity off. They said, well, we need to talk to him. He said, well, you can't talk to him. Well, we have to talk to him. Well, you're not going to talk to him, but turn his electricity off.
And they can't talk to him because?
He doesn't all, it would, I'm not there. He doesn't
have
access.
You do have a power of attorney, correct?
I do have a POA, which would then they say, okay, we're going to get you over legal and put you to PO and the whole.
This is for a newspaper or something.
That was for the newspaper. This one happened to do for electricity.
$8 a month or whatever, whatever newspaper.
Here's what I say to him. Look, we can do it one of two ways. You're getting paid automatically either through my credit card or the bank. I'm closing all those things off. You don't have to stop your service. You could continue to provide it. You'll just never get paid again by us.
So your choice.
It's up to you. They said, well, we can't.
You're being fair.
Yeah.
I'll pay you up through the date.
Yeah, but we're going to stop the service. If you don't stop the service, you're just not going to get paid. And normally they'll say, well, we're not supposed to do this, but we can. And I said, look, who would stop someone else's?
What do you think? I'm lying?
Right?
Just calling up for fun? Yeah. Shutting down the newspaper account?
Yeah, no.
See if I can't create havoc in my dad's life?
Yeah, I said, what ISIS terrorism is going on here that people are stopping their newspaper?
What? The great terror.
Anyway, but we laugh about it, but it's difficult. And I am thankful, truly, that between the five of us kids, that we have the resources that we can get proper care for him and that we're all on the same page. Because if we weren't all on the same page, as many of you are listening, you know what I'm talking about. It could be tremendously difficult. Tremendously difficult.
Well, I must say, Pat, I got a bit of a kick because when I talked to you, you said you had been busy trying to find a place for your dad. And your sister, doesn't she work for a place
for mom, which helps in placement, but she doesn't.
And I figured it's a place for mom, kind of moms and dads. Is that fair?
Yes. But there's more mothers. That
yes,
go
of
to,
course. A lot more.
So, but she doesn't work in the Northern California area. She works
right.
In the Seattle area. Right. So she was unfamiliar, but that skill set actually came in quite nicely.
But hey, we've got a lot of great financial stuff to talk about, not just Pat's family issues.
Personal problems. but if you want, you could call me on my cell. We could discuss my personal problems.
And it's interesting with what's come out with Wells Fargo. It seems like the story that never dies for them. But this last week, we also had something from Morgan Stanley, which we'll talk about later in the program as well, which I think is it shines a flashlight a bit on what's happening with some of these financial services companies, these large financial servicing companies. But anyway, right now we're going to have a time we're going to talk about the new view of retirement. So on last week's show, we had on Carrie Hannon, who talked about how to make work fulfilling again. And this week, we've got Dr. Rich Feller. He's a career expert with AARP's Life Reimagined Institute. They have a pretty cool website, actually.
It's nice. Done a nice job.
He's going to provide some tips for changing careers, starting a new business, or becoming a consultant or a freelancer. So, Dr. Richard Feller, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Great to be here.
Well, thanks for joining us. And So you're part of AARP's Life Reimagined. You are also a career coach of some sort?
Well, I've been training coaches for years. I'm at Colorado State University, so I have graduate students who train to do this work.
How did you get involved in this?
Well, it's a long journey. My story really begins with getting a 64 in my New York State Regents English exam and being told I shouldn't go to college.
Well, there's hope. There's hope for my children.
Yeah, me too. So I then got interested in, you know, giving people voice so they could maximize their life. And was fortunate to be called by AARP, and they consider me one of their work experts to study the transitions we all go through.
Did you eventually, well, obviously you went to college.
He is a doctor.
Yeah, so one assumed.
Spent a few days there.
Yeah. And so do you help people mostly, it's AARP's thing, this is mostly people that are 50 plus?
Well, I think people understand AARP as being that later chapter of their life, but AARP is reaching out to people really 47 above is our target audience, because we know that we're all going through transitions evidenced by the great tumult in the workplace, the fact that we're all living longer. And while you guys do a great job helping people financially plan, can we help people think about what's next for them in a lifetime of transitions?
And that's what truly this is the discussion that we ask our clients often, or people that are thinking about retiring, is describe your first few weeks of retirement and then describe what your life looks like 6 months from now and 12 months from now, and tell us whether it you think you want to live like that. Is that kind of what you do with the, you know, simplistic terms of putting it?
Well, it's a question of what's next for all of us, and how do you want to spend your time, and how do you live on purpose in relationship to the way you work, the way you deal with your relationships, and the whole notion of well-being. So I think if we look at the fact that we have to plan much longer, we're going through many transitions in our career. We're in and out of work. We're in and out of school. We're in and out of health. We're in and out of being empty nesters. We better think about what we're going to do for this longer life that we have, and what we better financially plan. Let's plan about how I'm going to find purpose and meaning, feel a sense of belonging, and frankly, live a life that's full.
And do you give people, is there assessments? I mean, how would I go through? Because it sounds like a journey of self-discovery almost, a guided journey of self-discovery. Do you give us assessments? So
how many people do their own self-discovery? Usually just people kind of just arrive and then try to figure it out as they go. Is that how most people live their lives, it seems?
Well, I think some people are too passive and let their own experience design their life. And we're trying to say, why don't you take some initiative and design your life from here forward? All of us really have two stories to tell, where we are up till right now, and then what's the new story we write or co-author for the next future? And Life Reimagined is filled with concepts that AARP offers in a website, which gives you access to wonderful assessments, gamey kind of things that are fun, almost collage making, that really make it artistically warm and friendly to fill out what's called a life map, which is really a cool program.
Well, interesting. You know, I was in out of town this past weekend, and I was driving. I heard an ad from a financial advisor, and he said, it seems like most financial service industry just talks about people need more money and still going to retire early. And he talked about a 30-year retirement. It's like a 30-year vacation and why you need to have enough money. And I heard that, Dr. Phil, and I thought, that sounds like a nightmare. I could do a vacation for a week or two, but after a while, there's only so much hedonism I could have, and at some point, I need to do something to serve others, right?
So, an honest guy. So true. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's how most of us, life is more than just how I can serve myself
or consuming.
Well, it's exactly right. And we're all looking for a way to belong, to give back. The notion of finding purpose in life is thrown out a lot, and it's what AARP is really helping people think about. But purpose is really, where do I grow and where do I give? And when I talk to some of my folks who might have sold a business and they're sitting back watching life go by and playing golf till they're bored, there's almost this kind of hollowness in their soul, or they're not really feeling alive. So Life Reimagined concepts within AARP are really trying to say, how do you live fully every day? Because we know we have to be connected to people. We have to be doing things that help us grow. And we all know if we give, we really feel better about ourselves.
And that is the quote of the day. Where do I grow? Where do I give?
I'm a pretty simple guy.
I wrote the same exact
quote. That is the quote. That's the same. That is, where do I grow? Where do I give? So have you ever retired Have you gone through a near retirement experience that causes near retirement experience that causes you to view life differently?
Well, I was a CSU professor, and I'm fortunate because that's really, you get paid and use somebody else's money to chase your dreams by teaching what you love. So I really never separated my work and life too much. But what I did do was leave the university a pretty nice tenured spot to chase a new dream. So I was really living a second kind of life by saying, how can I take my ideas to scale and give people voice at a really large level? Well, I love training graduate students, and they're doing great work individually and with organizations. My retirement was to say, let me chase another dream. And that's kind of what I'm doing.
And so you train people, you train other trainers, is that right? Other coaches?
Yes. Other coaches, doctoral and graduate students who become licensed counselors, coaches, and therapists, yes.
And so then how do you help people make the best career decision that's possible for themselves?
Yeah, so that's what it sounds great theoretically. So I show up one day and say, hey, you know, tell me what to do with my life. How's it work? Do you sit down with me, you say there's no hope, or you've got to try something new, or...
Yeah. Well, I think there's a typical way that if you give people assessment tests, which say, you know, what do you love to do, and then go do it and match it up with people who love the same things. I'm a little scared of those. I would much rather know more about what your internal motivation is, what are your desires, but also what are your capabilities, and put the two of those together so that you're living with passion. I wouldn't just chase your passion. Bring your passion to everything you do, but let's know what naturally comes to you, what brings your internal motivation, what are the desires, what are the kind of problems you want to solve. All work is really nothing more than solving problems. And if I can get you to think about what you want to invent or curate or repurpose, that allows you to draw upon the content and skills you have and maximizes your mastery experiences, whatever they are, whatever your education level is, it's a better chance you're going to spend your time doing things that give you internal motivation, bring you to people, help you be connected, and feel part of something larger than yourself.
And this is regardless of whether someone needs any income or not, correct?
Well, there's two things. I would think, and you're in this business world as much as I am, maybe much more, we really need to think what work means. And I think there are going to be less and less opportunity for people to find all their needs met at work. So I talk about work as almost a purposeful commitment. For example, I give care to one of my family members, and it's really work, but I don't get paid for it. But I really am doing a lot by giving my purposeful commitments to him. Or if you volunteer, or if you're going to get part of the gig economy or be an entrepreneur, consult a little bit. Those little pieces can bring you added income, but also give you a sense of purposeful commitments. So you're living every day where there's a reason to get up in the morning.
Yeah. So that's an interesting, I love that phrase, actually, purposeful commitments, because I was having I had a conversation with a client a few months back who had been widowed. A couple years prior, and so she's still trying to figure out her way. And I had talked to her about how she's spending her time, and she's trying to figure out what to do. And I talked about volunteering. And the one thing that she didn't want to do is make a weekly commitment to something. Do you find that as a common thing that people don't want to commit at this point?
Yeah, I think for years we've talked about finding balance in work. I think what really people are looking for is flexibility in life. And we all want more flexibility, and that's why we all work different schedules, we outsource. I mean, if you have a cell phone in your hand, you probably never get away from your work, right? That's part of who you are, because you're learning on the phone, you're getting calls, you go out to dinner, you're probably talking business. So I think work is getting real cloudy. You can't really separate work and learning anymore, and it also impacts a lot about how we play.
That makes complete sense to me.
Yeah.
Yes, because actually the mobile technology has allowed a sense of freedom, but at the same time, it's a chain.
Yep.
Right?
No kidding.
Yeah. So you can do work wherever you want, but you're still doing work. And the problem is you can do work wherever you want or need to. Can you share with me a great story and then a not so great story for someone that you've gone through this transition of? Purposeful living, where do I grow, where do I give? So one of each, please.
Well, one great story, and you can find these within an ARP's Life Reimagined website. There's a great story about a woman who's relatively, I'd say 20 years older than all of us, because I've seen your picture, and you look a little bit like me. She was run a couple marathons and then started running more marathons, even in her 70s. And she created something called chickpea running pants. because she's a woman and she wants to be able to run long distances, and she had to design her clothing different. So here's a woman who just said, I see a need. I'm going to go do something. I'm in my 70s. It was a great story because she really could think about, how do I add value to the world, and I probably can make some money on this as well. And it tied to the thing that she really was good at and was able to do. Or the person who was involved in a business life for years and said, I really want to be funnier, and he learns to be a comedian, is doing all these comedian gigs all over the country. And it's given him another way to live and find energy. Or the guy who opens up a pizza shop because his grandparents were Italian and he loves his ethnicity and finds a new way to do that. So those are three really great stories, I think, of people who said, let me reflect a little bit here and connect in a way that allows me to see what my choices are, so I can then explore and then what we call repack. What do I start saying no to so I can say yes to more things, and then I can act? Now, those six things are practices that we teach our clients to do so they can see the craziness of their chaos and say, here's some simple practices you can apply to let you find more of what you want. On the other hand, I know of some people in my neighborhood are frankly pretty hollow, and they have tons of money and they travel occasionally, but they're not really living on purpose and feel this sense of, gosh, is this all that's left in my life? And I say, you got 30 more years, guys. Let's think about how you can give and how you can grow.
And you tell them that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, you get to choose this. In fact, you might have too much money because the purpose has now left you that you don't have to, you're not financially required to engage yourself. You have to do it voluntarily.
Exactly. And sometimes we're chasing money, but we're really chasing achievement, or we're chasing the need to be with people, or we're wanting a sense of power. And all those things might lead to money because you're really skilled at something. But then when you stop that, you go, God, I still have this achievement want. I still want to be with people. I still want to make a difference. I want to have impact. So there's even good research to say, according to local economies, about $75,000 is really where people find that more money doesn't really make a much bigger difference. We just spend more.
Yeah, I've read that study a couple times.
I've also seen some studies where it says about roughly 70% of baby boomers say they want to continue some sort of work during retirement
after the age of 65.
They're already stating that. So what are some tips that you can give someone that's either looking to maybe change a career or start a new business?
Well, I think you go back to, frankly, what did you get told you were good at? Where did you get really a sense of achievement and a sense of mastery? How do you identify? Because, see, once you retire, you have to almost give up your old identity. So the question is really to me, what are you becoming? What do you want to become? And when you answer that question, you're really talking about your new identity. I often tell people, if you think about you're driving a car and you look in the rearview mirror, that's what you were. Now look in the front, the window or the dashboard, and what do you see? How do you begin defining who you are? Can you design a life that lets you be more of what you want to be, to live fully? Even if it's volunteer, okay. If you got to make money, great. But why? What do you want to start a new business in? What content do you have that you were paid for years that you can sell in a small way, or consult, or be part of a board? I tell people often, if you're bored and don't know what you want to do, immediately go to your city or county and get on a board of an area that interests you. You immediately will find a sense of current events. You'll meet a network of people who care about what you do. You'll get to socialize, and you'll frankly get to use your time differently.
Yeah, and you'll actually meet a whole bunch of people you've never known before and have conversations that are relevant to your life.
You know what's interesting, Dr. Feller? The financial services industry paints almost an opposite picture of what you just described.
They talk about why you shouldn't work.
Yes, and it's this vacation. And you look at all the ads, it's sitting on a yacht or sitting at the beach with an umbrella in your cup or whatever.
Well, Dr. Feller, we do appreciate you being on the show. If possible, we'd love to have you on in the future. And you could get to Dr. Feller's website by visiting ours at HansonMcLean.com.
Yep, HansonMcLean.com. And I think it'll be...
Or moneymatters.com, moneymatters.com. So thank you very much for joining us. Have a great day, Dr. Feller.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks. Wish you well. You guys are doing some good work there.
Yeah, so it's moneymatters.com. And while you're at moneymatters.com, you can actually sign up for our workshop coming up the following 2 weeks, which is called the 7 Personal Decision Points for Retirement Planning, which actually helps you on the financial side of retirement planning. And it's a 75-minute workshop. Attendance is free.
It's a great workshop. If you're gonna in the retirement age where you're thinking about maybe doing a transition from your work to something new, maybe you're mid-50s or whatever, or 60 or 65 even, and you're maybe you're looking at retiring now, or maybe you're just looking at am I retirement ready? Is can my paycheck be an option? And maybe I go look at doing something else. Maybe something like Dr. Feller was just talking about. So it is workshop is October 15th. That's Saturday, 10 a.m. to 11:15.
And both in Denver, Cherry Creek, Pleasanton, and Rancho Cordova in the Sacramento area.
That's
and,
right.
And the following week, we have them October 18th through the 20th. At the same locations, Denver, Cherry Creek, Pleasanton, Rancho Cordova, and that is moneymatters.com, moneymatters.com to register.
Yeah. So again, it's Saturday, 10 o'clock, and it's worth your time. You really want to go. Again, Denver, Colorado, Pleasanton, the Bay Area, and Rancho Cordova, Sacramento. So we're taking a quick break, and stick around here for more of Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
One of the longest-running financial programs. Here's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
That's right. We have been one of the longest-running financial programs. I'm Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean, thanks for joining us in the second half of our spectacular show.
Yes, it is spectacular.
Yeah, wait, so if you were listening to the last half hour, we had Dr. Feller on the air, and you can get more information on Dr. Feller with Life Reimagined by going to our website at moneymatters.com, moneymatters.com.
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 Yeah. So this last week, so we, Wells Fargo had, everyone, I think.
I hope everyone knows about this.
They had a practice of cross-selling where people would get paid incentives to recommend products, banking products.
Whether the clients needed them or not.
And it got a little out of control. There wasn't any compliance on it. There wasn't enough safeguards to make sure that people were doing the proper thing, essentially. But this last week, this just came out last week, the state of Massachusetts, they're right up there with the Securities and Exchange Commission or the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority or the Consumer Federal
Protection.
And they're just
In terms of enforcement,
yes,
these guys are
going after
all
people.
Over.
Yes,
you they go after insurance companies and banks and mortgage. The state of Massachusetts, they're not afraid to tackle the big ones.
Yeah, so they charge Morgan Stanley over high-pressure sales contest. Now, here's what's interesting about this. This isn't a bank where you have your checking account. This is where you have your life savings in their wealth management arm.
And it may be brokerage or it may be fiduciary. We don't know. A brokerage means that they don't have to put your interest above their own. And a fiduciary means they have to put their interest above your own.
What Massachusetts is charging them is stating that Morgan Stanley is making a push for their clients to have other sort of financial products,
including loans. Borrowing money against someone's portfolio.
Yes, a certain kind of loan that they do. And about, here's what I couldn't believe. There, in Morgan Stanley, there are loans totaling $69 billion from their wealth management clients. Now, these are people that invest their billions of dollars.
Or millions.
Not billionaires, but they're people that, whatever they have to invest, they invest and then take a loan out
against those, can take them out against. 16% of Morgan Stanley's wealth management clients have a loan secured by their portfolio.
A loan secured by the portfolio.
Now, this is a highly risky proposition.
How many loans does Hanson McLean's?
I'm going to guess probably close to zero.
There could be, it's possible there could be
one or two
that have a
for short-term bridge.
Yeah,
just but
a margin loan of some sort.
It would be unusual. And the reason is because...
And it actually wouldn't be Hanson McLean where advisors be the broker that held the account.
But the problem with it is that it can create risk in the portfolio. But that isn't what the most disturbing thing was. Is the most disturbing thing is that Morgan Stanley created a contest among their advisors where they would be compensated. Whoever wins the contest or does well would be compensated for suggesting products that may or may not be in the interest of the client, the best interest of the client. That's what the problem was. That's what the scary part is. right?
Right. They get paid. So you go to hire a financial advisor, right?
And you would hope that everything they do
would be in your best interest.
This is once again why the Department of Labor and these fiduciary rules, Scott, actually make sense.
Well, and that's the problem. So we've said, if you listen to Hanson McLean for a long time, you know, there are some great financial advisors that work for these big firms, Morgan Stanley. The challenge is these firms have multiple masters they serve, the firms themselves, right? So Morgan Stanley they've got their shareholders. Then they've got a variety of different divisions. They've got their loan divisions. They've got credit card divisions, all these different
divisions. And they want to cross-sell.
So they incentivize in a variety of ways their financial advisors to make sure that they're... I've read other cases where the brokers don't get as high of payout if they don't have X credit card,
so
X
Scott,
number of credit cards.
So, Scott, that's the problem with the big firms.
So there can be great advisors there, but you need to understand that these conflicts exist at these big firms.
Just because a big firm doesn't mean they're conflict-free. I would tell you, though, it's terribly difficult for someone to pick a financial advisor. Terribly difficult.
What if
they're broker-dealer or they're attached to an insurance company, right? What is the product recommendation? So that's why you need to ask your advisor how do you get compensated? What is your regulatory what's your regulatory record? Do you have anything on marks on your
What conflicts of interest
and are you a fiduciary? Whether it's a big firm or a little firm or a medium-sized firm, the biggest question is, are you a fiduciary?
I had a question, you know, it's interesting. No one's ever asked me that question, and someone asked me that just this last week. I was at a conference. Someone said they said, "What kind of work are you in?" And it's funny. I almost don't even like saying, because it's like they're expecting me to, you know, like my business card is a sponge or something. But he said, "Oh, are you a fiduciary?" And it's the first time someone's asked me that question, which just means that a legal obligation.
Which means he was either a lawyer or in the business.
No. He said my advisor's not, and here's what bothers me about it.
Oh, good for him. So, fiduciary. Massachusetts is charging Morgan Stanley with this. And they will actually, if Morgan Stanley was not, if they were a fiduciary to you and not acting in your best interest, this will be a big fine. Big fine.
Well, it's
got to be hard for the average consumer to pick an advisor.
Well, I think there's some real benefits of firms being independent. There's a lot of great independent firms out there. Hanson McLean, of course, we're an independent advisory firm. It just reduces those conflicts. Hanson McLean, no one needs to worry that we're trying to push you a loan to get you. We don't get paid
credit
to push
cards,
loans, credit cards, nothing. It's just
auto loans, boat loans, none of that.
Boat loans.
It's always seemed a little strange to me.
I think the same thing.
Yeah. I know a guy that owns a boat, a dealership, and he says 85% of all the boats that they sell were boat loans. God. Some up to 15 years.
Oh, yeah. They're 15-year loans.
15-year loans on a boat.
Boats are... If you've got the money to afford a boat, great.
Buy a boat.
But if you have to finance it, I mean, boats are, they cost you a fortune.
It might not be a good idea to own a boat, yeah. But we go on a tangent there.
Yes, we do. Anyway, we're going to take a call here. And by the way, if you'd like to have a call answered here on our radio program or our podcast here at Hanson McLean, we would love to hear from you and answer your question. To join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, simply call 1-888-2-HANSON. It could be a question, anything financially you're dealing with. Maybe it's a second opinion you'd like or whatever. 1-888-2-HANSON. Would love to get you on the air. Numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766.
And if you'd like to learn more about our firm, you can actually visit us at our upcoming workshop Saturday, October 15th at 10 a.m. in Denver, Cherry Creek, Pleasanton, and Rancho Cordova, or the following week, the 18th through the 20th. That's an evening workshop at 7 p.m. And you go to moneymatters.com. Yeah. Moneymatters.com to find out more about our 7 personal decision points. But we're going to talk to Mike.
Mike, you're with Hanson McLean.
What can we do for you?
Okay, I had a question. I have a note that I'm...
Are you talking through a tin can? You have a tin can tied to a string?
No,
there we go.
Bad,
That's good. That's much better. Okay, so you have a note. What's the note for?
Yeah, it's on a real property.
Okay.
So, and I'm just curious, thinking about selling it and just wondering roughly what I could expect to get for it.
Okay, and how much is the note for? How much money?
Well, the current balance is just under $61,200.
And what's the interest rate?
10%.
And what do the borrowers look like? Why did they have to pay you 10% to borrow money from you?
They bought a piece of property from me, and they had had a gentleman had walked away from a VA mortgage.
And how long ago did you lend them the money?
4.5 years ago.
What was the original balance?
$89,000.
This is kind of an interesting
question. Okay, and what's the length of the loan? How much time is left?
There's 68 months remaining.
And why can't they just go back and refinance this? Their credit might be cleaned up well enough now, and assuming there's equity in the property, why can't they just refinance this on a new VA or FHA loan and pay you off?
You know, I'm honestly not sure. I actually thought when they walked away, since they didn't walk away from the VA till after I lent them the money, it's still probably only been about 4 years since they walked away, and I don't know if there's some sort of time for them.
And is this secured by real property?
Yeah, it's secured by the property.
Okay, and have they been up to date on the payments?
Oh, yeah, there's payments are set up automatic. I get a check in my PO box.
So what's the question here?
Why would you sell this?
Well, I'm looking at going out and investing it in another piece of real estate, and I'd kind of like this money to do that with.
Okay. So the answer to the question is, what's the value of the note? Really difficult.
I have a question. I have an answer in mind. I'm curious if you have the same exact.
It's really difficult to figure that out because you need to find someone that is going to do a small transaction of approximately $61,000 for someone that has a bankruptcy on what type of property
is it? It's only worth what someone's willing to pay for it. I mean, that's the bottom line. If we said, all right, if they had perfect credit and use a discount rate of, say, 3%, we can back this thing out and say, actually, this $61,000 loan, a note is really worth $69,000. That's not the case.
We don't know what that.
So in the secondary market, someone might say, what? Well, I don't even know if I want to take that much risk. I'll pay you $50,000.
And is it a sticks and bricks or is it a mobile home, or what's the property itself look like?
Sticks and bricks. It's a home. 3-bedroom, 2-bath home.
And what did it sell for?
Originally sold for $189,000 is what we sold it to him for.
So, the only way to determine the value of this is to actually shop it.
Well, I seriously doubt you're going to find someone who's going to. You might. I mean, you might find someone out there that buys first deeds.
Yeah,
that's what this is.
Yeah, is it a first or a second?
The first.
So you could shop for someone that the first deed. It's a pretty small transaction.
No, I mean,
they might be interested. My question is, if I had a note like this and it was due and there was equity in the property and you're getting 10%,
I wouldn't do anything with it.
I would look either.
10% is a great return.
Is there any other, if you want to buy another piece of property, is there any other place you could go? And do you like clean up the properties to sell them, or are you just flipping them?
No, we clean them up.
Is there anywhere else you could go to get the money?
Yeah, there is.
This would be way down on my list.
Okay.
This would be way down on my list of where to borrow money.
I would agree.
It's 10%. I wouldn't buy it from you, but you'll find someone that will. I'd find this.
I called on me in reality, so I could go take it back and make money again. But he pays on time, so.
That's the thing about it, is it's 10%. It's 10%.
Yeah, I mean, if there was a perfect auction market, you'd get a premium for this. There's no question. But there's no perfect auction market that sits on for this sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would. Okay. This would be number 4 or 5 list of places that I would go to get money to purchase more real estate.
Okay.
All right. Appreciate the call.
All right, Mike. Glad you called. All right. You need more of those 10%
perfect pay
notes. Yeah. First placement on a couple $100,000 home.
4 years season, 68 months left in it.
But like you said, there might be, go out there and online and see if there's.
You need it.
But it's because they're all so unique, this is such a unique situation. So.
And I wouldn't be giving up the 10%.
If you've got a question for, if you'd like to join Hanson McLean with your question, like we answered for Mike, you can call us at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Would love to take your call, 1-888-2-HANSON. Now, Pat, you, we were talking before the show. You rode a Century bike ride recently.
Yes, I did.
And when Pat and I first started getting together, working together 20 some odd years ago, you were doing.
Yeah, multi-day rides.
You were. You had just kind of stopped because you were working your tail off.
I did, 22 years ago. But I used to do multi-day rides, and I hadn't been able to ride in 4 or 5 years. And
I thought your knee was, you were looking at a replacement. Didn't someone tell you that when to replace your?
They said that that was the next step. So I had had surgery on my knee, and I had cortisone shots, and I had Orthovis shots for a series of years, and I couldn't ride 3 or 4 miles. Go to the doctor. Hey, I need a new knee. Can you look at a new knee? The doctor says, you're not really. He said, just don't ride your bike. And I said, well, I'm actually kind of my sanity. I mean, that's, you know, an Irish guy that exercises, the alternatives are not as good. So I go, this is my sanity. So I go home and I watch some videos on a knee massage. Like what? And I went to this.
By the way, this is not like all of a sudden you're going to hear
a
commercial.
No, I'm not.
It's not a product.
Look, if you know me, you know that I'm not that guy. That I'm not the, you know, if you will. I'm not.
What guy?
Like crunchy, holistic kind of guy. I'm not that. I'm more corporate, straight-laced, you know, middle of the road, middle-aged white guy kind of guy.
Got it.
That's who I am. So, you know, this.
Dad Humor has one of their 30-something employees said.
Yeah, that's what they call. Yeah, that's
funny. Dad humor.
Yeah, that's funny if you're like someone's father. So I go to this reflexology and I start doing these things and the massage hurts so badly. You can't even, the guy actually calls me easy because when he starts working on my legs, I say easy, easy. So he laughs and calls me easy.
How often do you go to this guy?
Now once every 2 weeks. When I first started, I was doing twice a week, but within a matter of weeks, I was able to ride my bike again. And within a year, I was able to go out and ride 100 miles. I stopped in 8, but 100 miles. And a great time, great time. Came home strong, no issues whatsoever. It's just, it's just like sometimes you have to look at different ways of, you know, you got to own your own problem. This is what it is.
You know, so I heard that's another story.
Yeah, at a conference, so you have to own your own. You have to own your own financial problems. You have to own your own medical problems. You got to own your own everything.
Nobody cares about. No one cares about your knee as much as you care.
That's
about
correct.
Your knee. And so, no one cares about your finances as much as you care about your finances. So, anyway,
if you care about your finances, actually, this is a plug here, Scott. Saturday, October 15th, from 10 to 11:15 in Sacramento. Pleasanton, Cherry Creek in Denver, we're having our 7 personal decision points for retirement planning. You could find us at moneymatters.com.
Yeah, it is a great workshop.
If you care about your retirement.
It's only if you care. If you don't care, don't bother.
Don't bother.
Yeah, it's no
okay, so we're going to have an advisor on the phone, Barbara Healy, who's been with us for many, many years.
Right now, we're going to talk real advice.
All right, this is real advice, and that's highly produced. Thank you there in the booth. Highly produced. We're almost like a real radio show.
You know, it's just funny. We talked earlier in the program. We've been doing this for so many years, and as it's evolved, now it's more. We got
it's like people
four people in the production booth
that work on this. Anyway, we have to say this because compliance says, and if you've heard the show before, that Barbara is going to talk about a client experience. Yours may or may not be a positive one. We don't know. But in our industry, we're not allowed to give testimonials or encourage people because we have 4,000 clients and some of them may be happy or unhappy. Your experience may not be related to anything.
Yes.
So Barbara Healy, thanks for joining us.
Oh, pleasure. Thanks, guys, for having me.
Barbara is a certified financial planner, also a chartered retirement planning counselor. She's been with Hanson McLean since 2005 and was with one of those big evil firms for a decade or so before then. I'm just kidding about evil. But she works out of
the
Roseville, Northern California office. And so, Barbara, thanks for joining us for real advice.
Thanks for having me.
And if we'd like,
I have a question for you. If we have to own our own problems, you and I are the same age. Does this mean we have to own our age?
Yes, you absolutely have to own your age. I asked the lady this morning if I could order, if I was breakfast meeting.
I'm having breakfast with Pat this morning. We don't have breakfast very often, but we had some work to do. So we met for breakfast. Pat says, the lady comes by, he says, I noticed your senior menu is for 55 and older. I'm close to 55. Can I order off this menu?
She let me.
So there you are, Barbara.
So we do have to
order. You are a senior.
So tell us a little bit about your client. You wanted to talk about a client in a particular situation,
yeah.
And we have about 5 minutes to talk.
You got it. A client of ours brought in some friends who had never worked with an advisor before.
What do you mean brought him in? Like walked him, literally?
Well, set the appointment ahead
of time.
Okay,
got it, all right.
And so the four of them came in, and we sat down. They'd never worked with an advisor. He's employed, and she didn't receive a paycheck. Here's the unique part of it. They were young. He is 53 with stage 4 cancer. So that you can imagine, a little rough.
Yep.
Their whole concept was, what do we do? And his number one thing was, will my wife be okay? So they essentially came in, brought in their file cabinets. All five of us are sitting around, and they had stacks of paperwork on disability, long-term disability, Social Security, life insurance, medical insurance, 401k, their trust, their bank statements, everything laid out. And we literally went through each of these, the paperwork, to make some decisions on what to do with them. You know, what should we do with each of these benefits? And you guys know, we've been doing this a long time. I've been doing this a couple decades. The recommendations we make at a time like this will affect the surviving spouse for the rest of her life.
And the living spouse for the rest of their life, because they need to be able to feel good about this, that they did their best and that they didn't leave a mess behind, right?
That you're getting to the punchline without a doubt. They basically, I mean, think about the awesome responsibility we have when clients come in this situation or any other situation. They turn to us in their most dire point of their life for recommendations on what to do.
What did you recommend? What did you recommend for this couple?
Well, fortunately, she knew what her expenses were. So she knew we could work the calculations and make sure she was going to be all right. First decision was stay on payroll for him. Some companies, it's better to get off the payroll, right? Before one month.
Right. Yes.
In this case, it's better for him to stay on.
It depends on the company.
And sometimes the company will advise one thing because it's in the company's best interest, not necessarily the employees. I've seen that too.
So in this particular situation, it was better for them to stay on payroll.
Yes. Second thing is, we paid off the mortgage with one of their life insurance proceeds. They had two policies. We took one of them, paid off the mortgage, so she was debt free. Now you and I know that they bought
so that well they hadn't obviously it hadn't been paid out yet, but that was the design of it.
Yes, thank
okay.
you. So, and they refinanced or purchased this home recently, so the mortgage was around 30-year fixed, 3%, right? We know that over the long run, investments could, after tax, outperform that. But why take the risk? This was just too important to her. She wanted the peace of mind to know that my investments don't have to work extra hard or take extra risk to be able to make this mortgage payment. So we paid off the mortgage. We set aside sufficient cash for emergencies, you know, a year's worth of expenses, and we ran the calculations and figured out that she can have the financial lifestyle she wanted.
Without returning to work?
Without returning to work.
And children at home?
Husband, no, kids are grown. So with all that set aside, she had the flexibility, and she didn't have to worry about the markets. And Pat, you said it before, both of you guys did. At the end of the meeting, I mean, there were tears, you can imagine, but at the end of the meeting, he just looked at me and said, "Did I take care of my family?" Right. Yeah, it was pretty powerful. I mean, it gives me chills just talking about it. And he did. And to be able to, you know, you guys know this as well as I do. This business is about, sure, knowledge, skills, good advice, solid direct advice. But it's also about compassion and putting yourself in their shoes and say, what makes the most sense for these folks? And it was pretty powerful meeting.
That's actually why you're so darn good at this, Barbara. I'm just listening to her. No. I'm listening to you thinking, this is why you're good at this, is because you recognize, look, the money stuff comes easy to people that have been in the industry as long as we have.
Right.
It's how we deliver the advice and the compassion and actually hearing what their objectives are. Not what our objective is, not what the advisor's objective is or the firm's objectives. It's what the client's objectives are.
And I got to tell you, that was very prudent and wise for them to come in while he was still ill. I'll never forget a time when it was a recent widow, young, with young kids in the house. It was a long battle of cancer. And unfortunately, there was really not enough financial assets for her to be self-sufficient forever. Yeah. And I was honest with her. And I said, look, here's what's realistic for you. You're going to need to get a job in X years or whatever. And she didn't like that advice and went and found some other broker who sold her story that...
A bunch of indexed annuities.
I don't know. Well, I'm sure it didn't work out.
Anyway, well, thank you, Barbara, for being on the show. And we are so glad from the bottom of my heart that you're part of this organization, really.
Thank
you, Barbara. The pleasure's mine.
All right, Barbara.
Thank you.
That music means we're out of time, unfortunately. Sad time for all of us, I know. But as Pat had mentioned during the program at Hanson McLean, we've got our retirement workshop at 7 Personal Decision Points for Retirement Transition.
And you can go to moneymatters.com to get a copy of Scott's book, discount code for Scott's book.
We'll see you next week.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.